The president, congressional Democrats, and those pushing for health care reform have been on the defensive for much of the last few months, fighting malicious rumors about death panels, free medical care for illegal immigrants, and rationing. So it was refreshing when Florida Democratic Representative Alan Grayson stated on the floor of the House of Representatives that the Republican health care plan was simple: don't get sick, and if you do get sick, die quickly. The media attention he received in the days after his September 29th speech was valuable in that he was able to highlight a Harvard University study published in the American Journal of Public Health, which found that nearly 45,000 people die each year in the U.S. attributable to their lack of health insurance. As President Obama continued his campaign for congressional passage of national health care reform legislation on October 5th, he invited a group of 150 doctors, representing all 50 states, to hear him speak at the White House Rose Garden. Many of the physicians attending the event had supported Obama's candidacy and his current effort to overhaul the nation's flawed health care system. But doctors advocating for a single-payer system, like those established in most industrialized countries around the world, weren't invited to the gathering. But at the last minute, one Oregon physician, Dr. Paul Hochfeld, a member of the single-payer advocacy group Physicians for a National Health Program, or PNHP, was admitted to the event. Between the lines, Scott Harris spoke with Dr. Andy Coates, assistant professor of medicine and psychiatry at Albany Medical College and secretary of the Capital District chapter of PNHP. He reviews the importance of the Harvard University study and discusses what he sees as the deficiencies in the current congressional debate on national health care reform.
Simply because of lack of health insurance, which causes people to avoid important primary care visits, causes people to avoid going when they're sick, and causes all kinds of disruptions when it comes to follow-up when you have an acute or chronic illness. Simply by not having health insurance, one American dies every 12 minutes because they did not have health insurance. So it indicts our system severely. This is not a problem in any other industrial country.
What are your thoughts on Representative Grayson's comments?
Well, I must say that the discussion in Washington has not helped educate us, the American people, about the real issues of health reform very well. It's true that the Republican proposals that we've heard for health reform are not impressive. But on the other hand, the insurance proposal that the Democrats have to help people buy health insurance, that if you don't buy health insurance under H.R. 3200, which, you know, it hasn't been enacted, but the proposal would be, if you don't buy health insurance, you are a criminal and you will be taxed. You will be fined. You must buy health insurance. And if you're poor, then the government would subsidize the private health insurance premiums. So the taxpayers would then pay the private health insurance company money directly to make sure that they had a profit margin. That's the essence of the proposal. That's exactly what's been done in the state of Massachusetts. And it has not worked. It has not covered everyone, and it has not reined in costs. And the costs in Massachusetts are burgeoning. There's a major budget crisis. And to make up the deficits of the budget crisis, what they've done is they've cut the safety net health care, because they have to make a cut somewhere to continue to pay the insurance company the subsidies for the premiums. And so when the safety net is cut, the very patients who most need the care don't have a place to go. And in Massachusetts, although the number of uninsured has dropped, the amount of uncompensated care, emergency room care, has not dropped by anything like the same amount. And when people are asked, did it help you or hurt you, half of the people say it hurt me. And the people who are directly affected do not support the reform. So it doesn't seem to be working by many, many measures. And that's the essence of the Democrats' proposal, is that there would be private health insurance mandatory for individuals to have it. If your employer offers it, you should get it through your employer, period. And then there would be an exchange which would broker private health insurance policies. This is very, very much the Massachusetts proposal. We've looked at it closely, and it doesn't work. So I would say that the debate in Washington, although there's some beautiful rhetoric on all sides and some truth from each side, I don't think it really educates us about what we need to do to provide comprehensive health care for everyone.
Dr. Coates, when you look at the debate on Capitol Hill over health care reform, it seems that one of the central issues of controversy is whether or not to include a public government-run health insurance option in any final piece of legislation. Do you think that's where really this debate should be focused at the moment? And if not, why not?
The idea of the public plan is something that's very, very limited. If your employer offers health insurance, you wouldn't be eligible for the public plan and so on. If you read the bills and if you read the Congressional Budget Office idea of what the so-called public option would do, it might cover 10 million people. That's hardly half the nation. But even more theoretically, the insurance market, the way it works is the winning company, if you will, the most successful, most competitive company, will avoid the sick and the poor patients, keep the healthy and wealthy patients. You know, this is how Medicare Advantage works. If you look at the data, patients who enroll in Medicare Advantage plans, private insurance coverage, although they have Medicare benefits, and then grow sick, end up out of those plans, because if you have a severe illness, you won't be able to make the premiums. There may be benefits that you can't get through your private insurer, and so the healthy go in and the sick go out when it comes to Medicare Advantage. And so I would wonder if a public plan might end up just the same, where the healthy go in and the sick go out when it comes to private insurance, but the public plan would end up where all the sick and the poor patients were, and then it would be very, very expensive. And I would just point out that if you read the bills that the Senate Health Committee passed and the bills that the three committees of the House passed, there's absolutely no public subsidy for the public option. It's meant to stand alone and compete as a company, if it does even come into being. And even then, it looks like it might be administered by private insurance companies, yet be called public. Never mind those problems. Even theoretically, if the public plan were to compete on a market that's based on this idea of keeping the healthy and the wealthy and jettisoning the sick and the poor, I don't see how that could lead to meaningful health care reform. I'd be much more afraid that that would lead to an official two-tiered system where there were public hospitals and private hospitals and public clinics and private clinics and so on.
That was Dr. Andy Coats, Assistant Professor of Medicine and Psychiatry at Albany Medical College and Secretary of the Capital District Chapter of Physicians for a National Health Program. Contact the group by calling area code 312-782-6006 or visit their website at pnhp.org.